Today on Real Radio.
God forgives people who ask him for forgiveness. But when there's no king in Israel, when there's no godly leadership, listen, when there's no godly leadership to defend the innocent, what's going to happen to a country?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in the Old Testament book of Judges. We're in a mini-series taken from chapter 20. Remember, we're told more than once in this historical narrative that in those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And this chapter demonstrates this once again. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study series called What Happens When We Listen to us.
It sounds easy to say, it's not easy to do, but the more we let go and let God be God in our lives, the more peaceful we become. It's an absolute oxymoron, so to speak, in this world. How can we be peaceful when we have let go? Let me ask you this. Seeing how you hang on to stuff so strong, how peaceful are you? Try God. It's amazing. Israel would not do that. And look at it with me. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, we'll dive into this. It says, then the tribes of Israel sent men throughout all the area and the tribe of Benjamin saying, what is this wickedness that has occurred among you? These guys are upset. The rest of the tribes are upset among the tribe of Benjamin because of this evil that's happened. Why? Because Moses had warned the people. God spoke through Moses and said, listen, church, if these things are allowed, for in this case, rape was punishable, and we talked about it last time, rape in the Bible is punishable by death. Rape should be punishable by death today. Every woman in America should start a campaign to make sure that rape is punishable by death. It is beyond horrible. Our culture is so sick and twisted and has lowered the status of a woman that rape is in movies, rape is talked about like it's nothing. God says, you know what? No, somebody who rapes someone else, punishable by death. Wow. And that should not be surprising to us. So the tribes are upset because God had said, if you don't deal with things rightly in your land and pollute the land, God says, I will drive you out of the land. You say, why was Israel driven out of Israel for 2,000 years? He told them in the Old Testament, you disobey me, you're going to be driven out of the land. Can that happen in America? It can happen tonight. God doesn't have any favors, you know, towards us. He doesn't like, oh, it's America. We need to be careful. Verse 13, now therefore deliver up the men, the perverted men, who were in Gibeah. These are the guys that perpetrated this. And you remember the story. They first wanted the men to rape. They wanted to rape the men on men. And then that wasn't going to happen. So that guy threw his concubine, his girl out there. And it's horrible. That we may put them to death and remove the evil from Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. So Benjamin, here's what they're doing. Benjamin is harboring lawbreakers. And I want you to mark something. Very, very important. In verse 14, it says the word there. In the New King James Bible, it says the word instead. Look at it. Instead, the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities to Gibeah to go to battle against the children of Israel. Civil war is going to break out. The nation, I mean, think of America now. You're not in Israel, you're in America. What if that were to happen here? Now, they had 12 tribes. We've got 50 states. Can you imagine if something came down in Nevada and California and Montana said, hey, that's wrong. You're absolutely out of control. And if you don't shape up, we're going to come and bring our National Guards against you. Do you guys all understand states? You look at Europe, you see all these countries. You understand that? So France, Germany. When you look, in fact, the European Union's trying to unify all those countries to make them states in the European Union. Why? Based upon what model? Based upon America. The United States, how about this? It's the United Countries of America. California's a country. That's why more governors get elected to being president than any other political position, because governors are the closest thing to presidents. Did you know that? They have to command an army. They have an air force. Every state in America has got an air force and an army. It's called a National Guard. They have executive branches. I mean, they have executive offices to fulfill. They preside over the welfare of a state. It's like a little country. In some cases, like California, it's a big country. It's very, very important. So what happens here, this group, the tribe of Benjamin, or we would say Nevada, went nuts and began to harbor criminals. And the rest of the states say, no way. Now transfer that into tribes. The tribes are saying, no way, Benjamin, you are not going to harbor those who are going to lead about to the defilement of our land. Could you imagine that happening today? It would never happen today. But what's going on then? Circle the word instead in verse 14. It's over the top. Because from that declaration, Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, decides to defend evil. They call evil good and good evil by the position they take. Nope, we are going to defend these rapists. We're going to protect them. In fact, we're going to give them, you know, memberships to the country club. We're not going to deal with it. Well, listen, we're not going to deal with the wrong. Sound familiar? We're going to just let the guy go. Or we'll put a little a transmitter on his foot and let him go. Or we'll give him probation. Yeah, we know that he's molested children and even murdered a child, but we'll let him go. You look at the horrible atrocities that were committed in the state. I forget what state it is, but I remember the governor at the time, Michael Dukakis. Do you remember him? The things that happened under his watch are criminal themselves. Where criminals were let out by governor order of Michael Dukakis, and they went out, and within days, not once, not twice, several times, and this is public information, you can read it, went out and killed more people at the word of one man, a governor, who released the guy. Now, I don't know where you come from, but they should catch that guy and the governor and throw them both in jail. The governor is responsible for those deaths. No, you're going over the top, Jack. This is a serious thing. Very, very important to God. You'll see how much so in a moment. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, whoever covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses it and forsakes it, God will have mercy upon him. That's a very important thing. God is so, and that's Proverbs 28, 13. God is saying, if you don't confess your sin to me, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to knock you out. He wants you and I to confess our sins to him. What are we doing in our lives that's not right? Here's the cool thing. You see, Pastor, man, what are you doing? Listen, here's what I'm doing. If you can go home tonight and say, Lord, what's in my life that's not right? If you listen to this challenge, you'll be spared a lot of grief. Think about it. Let God speak to you. Lord, is there anything wrong in my life? Let me know. He'll speak to you and then obey him and he'll bless you. Watch what happens. Choosing to defend evil will always bring about judgment. And I want to show you something about where it's possible, what we can learn out of the book of Judges in our own country. And we'll just pick on one thing. Let's put this up on the screen, you guys. Choosing to defend evil. Now, you got to remember something. What God calls evil. I'm not asking you, don't ask me what evil is. God says this is what's evil. So check this out. Some of you have seen this before. We showed it a while back. American casualties in war versus abortion casualties. Each cross equals 10,000 people. Each cross. World War I. Revolutionary War. Okay, black, white. Look at the difference. Look at the amazing. World War I to World War II. Wow. Korean War. Vietnam, Iraqi War, abortions in the United States. Remember, each cross is 10,000 kids. Okay, go. 1 million, 3 million, 0.3. Keep going. 4.9 million. 6.5. By the way, this is since 1973? This is since 1973. 11 million. Everyone's crying. Look, don't take this wrong. Everyone's crying about Iraq. 4,000 of our soldiers have died. They've died for a cause. These kids died for no cause. $43 million, by the way, we are now, since we made this slide, we are at 45 million aborted kids since 1973, Roe versus Wade. 43 million. Million, million, million. Let me ask you something. I'm not here to beat you up. God says that abortion is evil. Okay? Now look, if you are a victim of abortion, God will forgive you. Ask him to. But as a nation, listen, God forgives people who ask him for forgiveness. But when there's no king in Israel, when there's no godly leadership, listen, when there's no godly leadership to defend the innocent, what's going to happen to a country? I'll tell you. Exodus 23:7. Exodus 23:7 says, have nothing to do with false accusations and do not put an innocent person to death, for I will not acquit those who are guilty of this, says God. Can that, will that, does that apply to those, for example, who are in political office who vote and sacrifice the unborn for so-called rights? Everyone, they tell us about rights, but no one wants to defend the innocent's rights or the rights of the innocent. Think about it. They have no voice. God says, speak up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. Defend the defenseless. God says this. He says, I'm not going to hold anybody guiltless for not protecting the innocent. Psalm 10, verse 8 says, the wicked man sits in the hidden places of the city, and in the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. Wow. Think about it. Will God hold America accountable? Make no mistake about it. Here's the part that stings. God will hold, you say, well, man, I'm not a politician. God will hold us who put the guys in power. Did you know that? You and I will experience the fallout from putting such leaderless people in power. Who's going to pay for that? Well, ultimately, the innocent's going to pay. The people like you and I who vote or don't vote will be responsible for the boneheads that are in office. Do you know that? See, I'm not responsible. I didn't vote. You are major responsible. I voted for the other guy. So what? Oh, this is, you see, Jack, man, ease up. Listen, there's only one hope for America, like there was only one hope for Israel, and that is for God's people to turn back toward him. Don't expect Congress and Senate and Barack to turn back to God. Why should they? God's people need to turn back to God and really take the word seriously. And like David and like Daniel and Isaiah, we need to rend our hearts. Or else judgment comes. Verse 14, so instead the children of Benjamin gathered together from their cities to Gibeah to go to battle against their brothers. That's Israel, the 11 other tribes. And from their cities at that time, the children of Benjamin numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword. These are 26,000 guys who are major warriors. Besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, who numbered 700 select men, or we would call them SEALs, rangers. These are super soldiers. Among, verse 16, all these people were 700 select men who were left-handed. These are your special forces guys. Why does it say left-handed? Isn't that interesting? You were trained in right-handed battle. Did you know that? And it was a covert, I'm not joking, If you were left-handed at battle, you were used in covert operations. Because when you went in before someone, you would be searched. They always checked, watch this. If you're right-handed, they checked your left thigh or your left calf of your left leg. That's how you reach down and you come up swinging. If you're left-handed, which was very rare, then your weaponry would be kept on your right-hand side. These guys were covert operators in defense of the tribe of Benjamin to defend this evil. Everyone's got the right to rape anybody they want. That would have been their sign. It's terrible. And so it says now, verse 17, that now besides Benjamin, the men of Israel numbered 400,000 men who drew the sword. All of these were men of war. So now they're gearing up to go to battle. It's so sad because all of it is because God's not in control. The nation told God to get out of the way. They've got their own little priests. They've got their own little altars. They're worshiping God their own little way. And they have forgotten God. They're very religious, but there's no God in reality in their lives. These are warnings to us. Verses 18 to 48 is the third point. What happens when we listen to us rather than consult God? We suffer the results of our own making. This is what we learn. Then the children of Israel arose, verse 18, and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. Watch that. Watch this. Watch out. Doesn't that sound good? Church, listen, are you with me? Doesn't it sound good? They got up to go inquire God. And they said, note it in your Bible, mark it, which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin? You see what's going on? They show up to the house of God, and what do they say? They say, okay, God, this is the way it's going to be. Watch what happens, church. All of you, all of us, take warning. This affects every one of us in our lives from time to time. Be very careful. The Lord said, verse 18, Judah goes first. By the way, that had been commanded in Scripture. Before they ever went to battle, they didn't even need to ask God this. Judah was always commanded to go first into battle. Judah, which is cool because they're the worshipers. Send the worship team in first. And the bombs bursting in there. Worship team, go. The worship team went in. God wants worship to go into battle first. Isn't that wild? Isn't that awesome? They knew the answer, but they're so far from the Bible, they're so far from the Word of God, they're not consulting God. But they say, hey, God, which one do we send in first? The Lord simply responds according to what he had already said in the Word of God in the Bible. God says, Judah goes first. If you're going to go to battle, church, listen, Judah goes first. God's telling the truth. Be careful what you ask God and how you ask him. So, verse 19, the children of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. Now, these are, quote, the guys with the white hats, the big white cowboy hats, going, and there's 11 of them, 11 tribes, going against the guys or the tribe of Benjamin with the black hat. The good guys are going to go against the bad guy, and don't you think the good guys will win? Well, maybe. Depends on how you ask God and where you're living. And how you're living. So the children of Israel rose in the morning and camped against Gibeah, verse 20. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Gibeah. Verse 21. Then the children of Benjamin came out, the bad guys, they all got black hats on, came out of Gibeah. And on that day, they cut down to the ground 22,000 men of Israel. Of the 11 tribes, 22,000 guys were killed. The black hats, black capes, black masks, killed 22,000 of the good guys. Verse 22 says, and the people, that is the men of Israel, encouraged themselves. The word in Hebrew means they cheered each other up. Not a good thing. Man, we just lost 22,000 guys. You want to go at it again? Want to take those guys on again? Yeah, come on, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. I know you can do it. Okay, you ready? Let's go do it. They encouraged themselves. They should have fell on their face and said, God help us. No, they said, come on, buddy. I know we just lost 22,000 guys, but we can do it. Those other guys, they're a bunch of losers. And again, they formed battle lines, and at the place where they had put themselves in array on the first day. Repeat, verse 23, then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening. Sounds good. All sounds good. And asked counsel of the Lord. They're getting closer. Saying, shall I again draw near for battle against the children of my brother Benjamin? Okay, first request in prayer. Hey, we got a plan, God. It's a good plan. It's our plan. There's a way that seems right to a man, and we know that that way ends in death, but we've got a plan. So God bless our plan. You ever have a plan and you ask God to bless it? Not good. Best to get the plan from God and let him bless it, because he's invested in it. So they lose all these thousands and thousands of guys. Second attempt is, now they're crying because they lost all these other guys. And the second formation of battle, oh, they're crying out to God. They're getting closer. They're not there yet. Watch what happens. And this is a lesson to us about how we approach the Lord. And the Lord said, go up against them. You guys, they're already ready to go to battle, even though now they're crying. They're marching off to war and they're crying. They already have a heart to go to war. They're going to go do it. God is not leading them astray. He's giving them what they're asking for. They want this. The Bible says, watch out, what we pray about, what we seek after, because we can get that thing and he'll allow leanness or apathy to enter into our hearts. Church, listen, this is very critical. The children of Israel, remember they came out of Israel? I mean, they came out of Egypt and they started complaining about the manna bread. Remember manna every day. We have manna food, every manna pizza, manna cotti, manna everything, manna banana. And they start complaining about the manna. And it was angel food coming down from heaven. And so God says, you know, get out of the way. I'll cause a wind to blow, and I'll just blow millions of quail. They'll come flying right across at chest level. Take a stick, get them. So these people are just whacking all these quail and having quail and manna tacos. And it says God gave them what they requested of him, but he sent leanness into their souls.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called What Happens When We Listen to Us. It's actually a mini-series taken from chapter 20 of the Old Testament book of Judges, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are beginning to near the end of this Old Testament narrative, which really speaks of the volatility of the nation of Israel, and quite obviously, there are many parallels to today's society in which we live. Well, now we're offering Pastor Jack's series of the book of Judges all on one convenient MP3 CD. And here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send it your way. Just be sure and mention the Book of Judges on MP3 CD, whether you call, click, or write. Starting with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, and once you're there, you'll know where to click. Realradioactive.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.